Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Warmest Podcast, episode 125 with Paul and Barry and Sherwin.
Hello, listeners. How are you?
We're rocking with royalty.
Rocking with royalty.
For those of you that don't know, Sherwin's a big thing in the fluff world.
Nah.
He is the fluff maestro for Steelforge Games, amongst other things, and game designer of such important groundbreaking games as Resident Evil 2. Did you do that?
Resident Evil 2, Rise of Zero Dawn, and then a few others I can't tell you about just now.
So either two secret.
And the fuck, if you look at these Kickstarters, these not the no £6,000 Blackgate miniature Kickstarters.
Nah.
These are like proper. We made some money, boss.
Yeah.
We made some money,
job, boss.
Yeah. Please, boss, can I buy myself a house there, boss? So we got Sherwin in the car. It's Sunday morning.
Yes, it is.
Whatever fucking date this is. 15th.
15th.
8-ish.
Yeah,
it's day two. Unfortunately, we didn't record from day one because Paul ambushed me too early and I wasn't ready. In true Paul fashion, communication is one of the strengths of the British Army, I find. The need to know only materialises like 3 minutes before you need to know. So I drove myself yesterday, so I could have recorded with myself, but that would have been a bit lame. So, it's been a couple of weeks.
Since
the fucking dreaded, we're recording in front of the vent.
Yeah, and sorry, apologies about that.
That was really
we have cool. learned.
But we're sending the vents off today.
We
almost re-recorded, but, you know, you never really recreate.
You can't recreate magic.
Exactly. Because, I mean...
Yeah, yeah. You'd just be repeating the funny things you said.
They weren't funny the first time.
I loved it. I loved it. I was, and,
filth.
Yeah, you didn't have a kickoff table. that was what it was replaced with, and there was like holes in the pitch that opened up, and the best way for me to take any players off your pitch wasn't hitting them, was just making them go for it in case they fell through the holes, you know, like, because that was the best thing I could do. And yeah, but it was cool. I was like, you know, top star for that. If they do more, definitely do more. And
this was just in a White Dwarf.
Yeah, it was just a White Dwarf. It's like what White Dwarf should do. Like, here's a unique thing to have a gaming experience, you know, there you go. It's like, and we enjoyed it so much, I said, well, next time, Darren, we should swap teams, and if we both come up with a win, then we should play a rubber match. Yeah.
That's rubber match.
Well, we like, that's an expression, isn't it? You, the third, the side.
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, I think it's used in wrestling.
Another
sure, that's used in wrestling, isn't it? The rubber match?
No, that sounds like you're getting ready for an S&M Bible.
All right, fair enough. Then
you and Darren can play each other in team suits.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think Darren's winning that.
Yeah.
You better be fucking batting, not bowling. Fucking bowling, not batting, or whatever it is.
And I've been doing quite a bit of painting. I finished off that Bolt Action Commission, got that sent off. I've been doing a lot of eBaying.
So it's the end for War Machine for you?
Sadly so, but it all sold better than I thought it was going to sell. So my next project is to get my Mordor, the list I want to use for RIDS.
An army
event.
Worthy of Mordor?
Yes, an army worthy of Mordor. Yeah. I was tempted to buy the Nazgul of Dol Guldur, because I quite like to run an elite evil list, and that's probably the only one there really is.
What, you mean the nine Nazgul?
But from the Hobbit film. Do you know what I mean? So there's two.
Don't start naming them on me. Don't start fucking say this fucker's got this name and he's the Easterling Nazgul and all that bullshit.
That's who they are, yeah.
No, that's who they are based on what? Based on what GW decided to fucking think
of. Yeah, I guess so.
Bullshit. Is that Iron Man? No way, sir. No way. The Nazguls are just fucking faceless monsters, aren't they? Apart from
they were kings of men once.
Yes, but they're not, are they now?
All right. Well, anyway.
Sherwin, come on, fella. How do you feel about GW making up names for Nazguls and characteristics?
Depends what their contract says they can do.
They can do whatever they want, can't they? Within reason. Mm. But it doesn't offend your sensibilities as a fluffmeister.
No, cool. Not at all. I don't really enjoy Lord of the Rings very much.
What?
Fair enough. It's like listening to Black Sabbath, right?
Okay.
Listen to Black Sabbath, and it's kind of, oh yeah, cool, Black Sabbath, you guys were really influential, you started out metal, awesome, you did really interesting things at the time. Doesn't mean you have to really enjoy it, like, to appreciate what it is and how it started out. You don't need to suddenly decide that's the most amazing thing you've ever heard in your entire life.
Never really liked Black Sabbath.
Exactly the same about Lord of the Rings.
That was the thingy, wasn't it? That was the fucking
Ozzy Osbourne.
But nah,
like, Lord of the Rings started out an awful lot of the things we have in the fantasy genre.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
It doesn't mean that you can't appreciate the stuff that followed afterwards more.
Okay.
Even your Game of Thrones wouldn't have existed without Lord of the Rings.
And strictly speaking, if GW have a contract and the people who actually own the estate have said you can make up stuff, you can expand on the universe, awesome. You know, it shouldn't be so precious that you can't touch this thing.
Yeah. I'm precious.
You're a very different individual, aren't you, Barry?
Yeah. I make my own fluff up. I don't need you to tell me the fluff generally. But
Then you make your own stuff up. You don't like it when other people make it up?
No, not for me. When we used to play fantasy and stuff, I fucking hated special characters. I hated people that had to...
Yeah, Hero Hammer sucks.
Oh, fuck that. You used to, you know, you had to have Teclis, or you had to fucking this, that.
Teclis was good.
He was a bastard. And his brother, Tyrion. Bastard.
He's good too.
He went evil.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Based on what?
End times.
Shut up. How?
Well, never mind. That's a long conversation.
I think he just woke up one day and decided to be that way.
So I think, alright, so A, I always make my own in my own head. I don't have to name you, but I'd probably name them like Bad Guts or something, would be my orc general.
But
they wouldn't have anything special apart from a name, and in my head they'd be like Bad Guts.
Yeah.
Or but I think part of the kind of attraction of the Nazgul is how faceless they are. They didn't have a history.
All right.
They're like the boogeyman, weren't they?
They were wraiths, yeah.
Yeah, they were just like...
Dementors.
You can't kill the fucking things. Even if you kill them, they're coming back. They just go home and come back.
Yeah, you banish them for a while. Yeah.
Right, but I guess when you live and work in fluff, you kind of... The rules of fluff have to be a lot more flexible, because if you've got to make stuff move, haven't you? It can't be static.
I think he'd do more interesting things with giving something a name. You don't necessarily have to give it a whole backstory. You could give it a name, give it a theme, and actually you could generate more, because less is more, right? You can generate you can generate kind of this larger kind of interest.
Well, like saying like this guy's called the betrayer, but you don't know what he betrayed.
No, but it's okay. That's but they try to attribute like skills and stuff based on this, the betrayer, so he's got some fucking special skill set.
I think the answer is you have to do it in a constructive way, right? So if GW are doing that, I don't know they are, but let's say they did it. Let's say they make like a Nazgul called, Bone Rip, give him a name, a power tool, right? Yeah. So as long as they've got an idea of what power tool is, in terms of, so what is really this guy's backstory? Yeah, why is he trying to take over the world, or you know, kill all of the hobbits, or whatever he's trying to achieve? Yeah, what sort of abilities does Power Tool have? What does he not have? That sort of stuff. They don't need to explain all of that stuff. They can just put that down on paper as that's your special rule for Power Tool, and that's kind of who the character is. And then the rest of it, they can expand upwards to kind of do that, or they can be subtle with the rules and get people guessing. There's loads of different stuff you can do with that.
I think it just reminded me, and I don't know why, this is a bit of a stretch, right? It reminded me of something like Spice Girls. Because we've got to have like a ginger one, we've got to have a sporty one, a little
the
fucking
ring,
baby
the
one, a
posh
one.
Girls.
Yeah, no, exactly, because you've got the one from fucking here, one from there. Sauron might have said, oh, these fucking Numenoreans, they're the biggest, baddest asses. I'll have seven of them as fucking ring wraiths.
So basically what you're saying is that the Nazgul are basically a girl band.
The Spice Girls, yeah. The Lord of the Rings Spice Girls.
Sauron's their manager, or they're like...
Yeah, he's like Simon Cowell.
Right, got it.
And I'm not going to lie, this kind of sounds more interesting than the Lord of the Rings lore already. So I think you should probably move on to actual Warmaster.
It's straight out of Mordor.
Move on. Somebody, I remember ages ago, somebody said, could you post the link in the description for when the topic actually starts?
Oh, yeah.
We should. But it sometimes gets to like 40 minutes.
Yeah, we really should do that.
Well, we're run out of road.
Supposed to do some paint. I've been doing literally fuck all. My boys started football training again on Wednesday night, so that's Wednesday night's goose. My magic club is absolutely on its fucking arse.
Oh, is it?
Magic itself is definitely not on its arse, because even people like Janners are playing now.
Yeah, I heard Janners.
Like online.
Online.
Yeah, the arena. The fucking. The death nail of paper magic.
Yeah.
So magic is in an unbelievable place. I think they might have, like, trebled or quadrupled the player base this year.
Wow.
But nobody's playing physically anymore.
Yeah, but no one... Yeah.
So, I don't know what that says. I don't know where the future is. It's probably not people going down a pub playing Magic on Monday nights anymore.
It's probably not, is it? It's online.
It's like... Yeah. So it is what it is. You can't fight the fucking tide, fella. You'll just get drowned.
So what are you doing with your Magic club?
I think the Magic club will do what it... What's the... I mean, I can't keep a fucking corpse alive, can I?
So what, are you going to let it die, or what are you, like, what are you saying?
Well, realistically, I think it's probably got less than a month's life in it, really.
Right.
And that's a month of me, like, giving it mouth-to-mouth and CPR.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
It is what it is. Yeah. It is what it is. So, sad day, isn't it? We got to 6.5 years.
It's a fair crack.
Oh well. I've been playing Pokemon card game, that's alright, you know. Kids, you're kid-friendly. Dear. Right, so what are we going to talk about now? Oh, Wicked Warmaster. You want anything from Sherwin World?
I've just been doing normal stuff, really.
Sure.
I went to up and down towards HQ. I've played a lot of D&D recently.
D&D?
Yeah.
Fifth Ed?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, that game annoyed the shit out of me. Your characters by second level were fucking superhuman.
I don't know what version of the game you were playing.
Fifth Ed. But it's like a video game. You can max out, you can retool, you can remove skills and add them back in and stuff. It's the madness.
It sounds like you need to have you need a better dungeon master to actually steer the story to a little bit more, kind of getting you to a place where there's more threat to your characters, maybe.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
If you're just walking around killing a bunch of goblins, then yeah, you are looking
at... No, that wasn't the problem. We were fucking fighting dragons at second level.
Yeah, you should be doing that.
No, no, that's what I said to him. I said, I'm not playing this shit. I'm fucking second level fighting a fucking dragon. Bollocks. Come on. Right, go on. Sorry, Sherwin.
No?
So you're playing D&D?
I've had some fun playing some D&D stuff.
Role-playing in Manticore Land?
I'm not role-playing. playing Manticore Land. That Kickstarter's still live, so it'll take a little while before that lands.
Oh, is it? I might look at that. I mean, that has got to be the biggest fucking folly I've ever heard in my life.
I don't know this. What's this story?
So imagine you could roleplay in the wide fucking varied worlds of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
Like 30 years of IP, fucking millions of books.
Yeah.
And you've got Warhammer Fantasy, for example. You've got all of the 4th edition of weapons. There's fucking tons of resources.
Yeah.
Or you can roleplay in Mantica, the Kings of War land.
Okay.
So they've released a role-playing game, kickstarted a role-playing game to play in Mantica.
Right.
Why in God's earth would anybody choose to play in Mantica?
If you're a Kings of War fan?
Well, are there that many rabid Kings of War fans?
I don't know.
What to do a Kickstarter for? No. Somebody's written these fucking books, wasted their life writing books for some no fuck is ever going to read. No fuck is ever going to play this game. They've actually done half decent games that no fucker plays. Like that, what was that Rollerballs rip-off they did?
Speedball?
Dreadball.
That was actually a reasonable game.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked alright and it played alright. No fucker plays that. That was actually a reasonable game they did.
Not anymore.
You know what, that I don't know if we've ever talked about this, that died because in the space of 1 year, they released 24 teams from a standing start. Now, you can imagine the playtesting was fucking top draw.
Top draw.
So, towards the end, you had teams that fucking teleport around the board.
Oh, yeah.
I'm as much as fucking blog these fellas.
But you don't, do you?
I teleport here. Why did we get onto Manticore? You talk about Dungeons and Dragons. Sorry, Sherry, we've got a plot on, fella. What are we on? 16 minutes, right? We're Week in Warmaster. What's been going on? We had the YouTube video that I haven't got around to watching. Shane and Ian.
Yeah,
no,
lovely.
It's not Shane, it's Steve and Ian.
Yeah, lovely.
They do some tremendous work. I mean, they put your idea to shame, Paul. This is the bench.
Yeah, exactly. I had a conversation about it yesterday, like with Nav. I was just like, totally. I was like, well, what I would like to do, I don't have to look into how I could do it.
I can get you the source material, the two or three cameras and all the footage. But then to do what Ian does to turn it into a film.
Yeah, I mean, well, I would do something different, but I loved it. It was like, this is great. Yeah.
He does fantastic work. Well done, him. What else happened? Did you see the fucking estate sale that the fella got? Gene?
What is an estate sale?
So somebody died.
Right, okay. So
when you die, your wife goes into your loft, says, what the fuck is all this stuff? And says, I don't know any of this. So they put it into an auction or they have a garage sale or whatever. People come and they buy the shit.
Yeah, right.
A fraction of what you paid for it, no doubt. Because your wife doesn't know what the fuck it is. Imagine magic cards that are worth £400 each. You sell them a box for a fucking fiver or something. I'm sure it was not like that with this Warmaster stuff. Yeah. But the guy who died is obviously a collector rather than a gamer because everything's still sealed.
It's
like 20 army boxes.
Well, the same boards, weren't they?
There's lots of same boards. Mordheim stuff and this and that. And like blisters.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel his pain. I've got a lot of stuff that I've bought that's still sealed in boxes. I've sold some of it recently, but just because you realise, you know, I bought the whole of 2nd edition Battle Lore and I think, I'm never going to play this.
I'd play with you if you...
But what's the point of breaking it open to play one game?
I suppose.
So I burned that for I think I got 300 for that.
All right, okay. Fair enough then.
But you do get to the point you think, if I leave this for my wife to dispose of when I'm gone, what's she going to do with it? She don't know what it's fucking worth.
So
I think, sadly, the guy took quite a lot of shit.
Yeah, it was weird. That was a weird chat going back and forth, isn't it?
There were too many posts for me to go through it all and find. He said he had to ban people.
Yeah, because some people, some people were like saying, yeah, well, good fight, but others were like,
I think basically, the people would say, why are you rubbing our nose in your
good luck?
You just have to kind of say, well done for,
exactly.
I mean, if he didn't buy, some fucking everybody else was going to buy it, they weren't going to claim a skip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, at least it went to somebody who would use it.
And he said he was going to share it around between him and his mates and stuff. Exactly. Like, what more do you fucking want? But it did get me thinking, because I'm 49 next week, which isn't that big a number, but it's certainly further along the fucking timeline than I'd like. You know what I mean? You're not going backwards, are you? So.
Okay.
So at some point, I am going to have to rationalise the amount of stuff I've got, because I've got a fucking lot of stuff already.
That's fair enough.
bit. If you got, say you got X amount for your War Machine stuff.
Do you want to know how much I got?
Well, no, it's up to you whether you want to disclose it.
But I'd already sold some bits on Facebook sites, so not counting that. This was like the stuff that didn't sell on that Facebook site, so I took £700.
Now, and that's not what you... Obviously, you paid for it because War Machine's in a bit of a lull, yeah. So you paid quite a bit more than that.
That I will not want to know.
What I'm saying is,
they're like dragons.
I was a press ganger and I got a reasonable amount of this stuff for free. Not all of it for free, but reasonable, right? I'm probably in 4 or 5 times the amount you're in. I've got a fucking lot of stuff. And I'm not sure I can face, like, writing off... I'd probably have to write off 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 grand's worth of stuff to sell it.
Well, Barry, if it's something you don't want to do, then I could slowly do it for you. I quite enjoy the process of eBay.
I've got keeps you away from the kids. You've not got thingy involved in it yet, Hazel.
I really like the local shop. That, like, they supply me with...
Is that where you go?
Yeah.
Nissa?
Yeah.
Is that why they know you?
They're better than the post office. Way better.
Everybody knows his name.
Everyone knows my name.
I thought we were going to go to Tesco's for a meal deal, but no, we had to go to some local Nissa.
It's better. Anyway, shut up. We're talking about Walmart.
Shut up, bastard. Estate hall, what else happened? Cromarty Forge is nearly finished. I think it's finishing.
Yeah, he's done his last stretch job.
I think it's finishing tomorrow.
Yeah.
33 hours left, I believe he's on about 6.5.
Yeah, he's unlocked everything.
6.5, which is pretty good. Yeah. I mean, this is an amazing feature, though. Only 44 backers, so they're in for like 150 each, minimum. That's pretty impressive, but most people don't, especially people that aren't regular Kickstarters, don't go in that heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, fair play to him, so. And he's already fucking got the stuff moulded. It's ready.
He came in a very different way.
Yeah, so.
And his plans... This has been a success, so he's doing more ranges.
More.
So is it the full Skaven range for this?
Yes. Yeah. Every option.
And a few
extras, actually.
One of the two of you have to show me the link when we get to it.
I brought along the models.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you can see them.
Some Cromarty Forge.
I can see me of a Skaven army.
It's a big army, fella. Yeah. It's a big army.
It's a lot of chariots in my head.
It's a big army.
It's a dry brush and brown, though.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah,
pink noses.
Yeah, pink noses.
Pink noses.
And speaking of Skaven, since we last recorded, an event in
Sweden.
A Skaven army won it.
Not only did he win, he was a newbie winner. First fucking time playing.
What? I was
not meaning to blow my own trumpet, but he did mention me in the comments. I followed Barry's advice.
What? That's unbelievable. Don't tell me that.
I'm not sure the advice he was quoting mine was actually mine. Right. But I'll take it, obviously. Yeah. I think it may have been your advice.
I'll take that credit. Oh, man. I was like, wow.
Wow.
Done you.
Well done. Yeah, for winning Skaven. And all the old timers are scratching their arse in their head.
I've tried Skaven and I was terrible at them. That's literally what one of them said.
You've tried Skaven several times.
Yeah, I can't unlock that puzzle. I'm going to try again. I'm in with Cromarty Forge.
Has he shared his list?
He did post that, but it's like, even in it, he said, like, I wouldn't have, I'd make some changes. So I don't know, I just got that.
Did he take stupid, like, even warp lightning cannons and stuff?
He had taken some warp lightning cannons. And he said, like, they didn't do anything. So
they never would.
He wouldn't take them. But it's like, that's fair enough.
The range is too short.
Yeah, no, they're not effective. They're just liabilities.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so... Warmaster Galactic Championship 2019.
London GT.
Mm-hmm. It was an interesting venue.
First of all, considering what it was last year,
Which was shit, sir.
Yes.
It took an hour to get in.
Yes, the facilities were shit. Yeah, yeah. Like,
everything was shit.
Yes, yeah. This is the
parking was non-existent.
Yeah, yeah. This is the opposite in every way. There's free parking and there's loads of it. No problems parking.
I mean, a lot of parking.
It doesn't take any time to get in. Like, in fact,
no, they don't even check a ticket.
They don't even check a ticket, which is interesting.
Well, because if you, why would you be there if you're not playing in a game? And if you're not on the list, you're not playing. So why?
Well,
I'm sure you could come as a spectator for free.
Yes, you can. And the venue's massive. It's an indoor cycling area, isn't it?
Because
it's
athletics.
Well, it's athletic, but it's also the slope sides.
Yeah, but that's what they do indoor.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. Yeah, like, and yeah. So that's, it's amazing. It's like, it's entire, this is perfect for wargaming. The only negative is there isn't like a pub close by. Yeah, which we found one that was, but like, it's not next door.
Well,
but
they do have a bar and they have food and coffee.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's not even overpriced. I haven't thought, as in like it's.
No, it's pretty cheap. It's not really London money, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
I think all these kind of events, these big events, they kind of wear me out a little bit just because of the room, the kind of the noise,
right.
The kind of, I don't know what it is, the kind of heat. I see some people play magic events, they play 13 rounds of an hour in a day, and you're like, you're fucking nuts, mate. After like two or three games, I'm wanked.
Yeah.
Like the War Machine used to do it, didn't they? Used to play five rounds in a fucking day.
That was,
and it was like going till 9 and 10 at night.
They were
hot
days, yeah.
No. Yeah. Two games and I'm knackered. You want to? People were saying friendly game yesterday. I'm saying, I don't want to. I'm not in there. I'm tired, mate.
All right.
So, you had a friendly game, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Well, you can talk about that. So the venue's nice. And there are fucking loads of 40k players.
400 in one event. Now, check this out, right? So last year, the big thing, because obviously this thing is for 40k. The scenery completely bombed. And that is it. I'm very sympathetic to Zach, you know, like, but it all went wrong, basically. And
the scenery was shit last year. Yeah, it was basically just blocks of foam.
Yeah. And there was a lot of stick given online. So, but this time, it's all done. Every table is standardised. It's practical scenery. Like, it's big enough.
Looks like it came from the people who have supported. Is it TT Combat or something? Who's the name of that manufacturer, Sherwin?
For TT Combat.
It looked like their game.
Yeah. I mean,
and it was painted.
Yeah,
nice.
It's done. It's like, it looks fine. It's like, for what 40k is, that's a totally viable 40k table, because it's the scenery has to be practical, like, you know, than aesthetic anything else. But it is all finished, and that's a lot of tables they filled with that stuff. So, well done, basically. Like, and I was talking to, I know a few people playing in the 40k event from the shop 40k. No complaints. They're like, this is what it should have, what it should have been, you know, last year. So, boom. But with this 400 player event, there's good, by the end, when it finishes, there'll be, because they're playing five rounds, there'll be 10 guys who have been undefeated. And then, so you can go to this event, win all your games, do well, and not even get close to the podium because, you know, you didn't do as well as the other person who did well. It's like, there you go, it's too many people for like an absolute Swiss.
Well, you just have to have a criteria, don't you? You have to tell whatever, victory points or whatever.
That is just the fact of it is like, they won't, you can't.
Well, on the flip side, we're playing full Swiss, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We might only have one game today.
One game for you, perhaps for you, but I've thought about this morning. It's going to be four rounds, whatever happens.
We can't do that because you're not playing Swiss, are you?
But it's like, you, like, for example, if it falls that you've won and the other guy
won't be necessarily.
Then your fourth round will just be for fun. Like, you can play me or whatever. Like, you know, like, it's not like I'm not going to make it where you can, like, win the event. Like, isn't because we need another round.
And all your tiebreakers were coming to play, and you didn't even track them in round two.
Oh,
because you're playing Swiss.
Yeah, and so
there could be only one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so don't, I mean, I've thought of what to do, and it's important that everyone.
You'll just pick it up on the fly anyway. That's the normal poll mode. Just right. Like, yeah, just.
What I think happened yesterday was he had a poll at the start of the day. And we all agreed, of the rounds, we were playing four rounds and asked everybody.
Yeah.
And we had our vote.
Three rounds today.
And we decided that we'd do three rounds on Saturday.
Competitive rounds.
And then we'd do one round on Sunday, because that way, anybody who wanted to chill out and go home early or whatever, because they've got to see their family or whatever, the reason they have, basically could do that. And then Paul basically decided that actually we would go, well, his idea was, which is 2-2.
Malicious lies!
You didn't even remember what you'd agreed in the fucking thing, I'm telling you.
That's literally what happened. We're not saying this to make fun of you or anything. That's actually what happened. And the most disturbing part is in your head, you can't rationalise that. You're like, really? That's not what happened. Like, everyone agreed to 2-2. It really wasn't that way, Paul, whatsoever. Do you remember us all voting with you? And you were surprised that actually it went 3-1 was the vote.
But yeah, I suppose there only was a word. What's the word? It's not binding. It's an advisory. It was an advisory vote. The democracy you seek. Yeah. Is this just an illusion, sir?
Yeah, we're in a pultocracy.
Oh my god. That's outrageous. It's outrageous.
So you played a friendly match?
Yeah. So we two rounds yesterday and then a casual. Mm. And most people, did their own thing and left.
Went home.
It's cool. Those who have families saw the families. Mm.
So, well, we'll talk through the games, maybe, because we're nearly there, aren't we?
Yeah, 6 minutes.
6 minutes. So, we'll have to talk through the games, the actual games, like on the way back. But Sherwin's 1-1.
Yep.
Although it was unlucky to be 1-1, because I thought you had Nav.
Unfortunately, most of my army was failing command. Like, I managed to hold on to the tower, which was the scenario in the second one.
Yeah.
I got early points, but because I just failed a bunch of command, I couldn't move my army up to support them.
And that's War Master.
Which basically meant I was holding a position with chariots, which is not really ideal.
That's not their strength.
They're not supporting.
That just wasn't sustainable, basically.
Yeah, fair enough then. Fair play. I mean, it's there's three people going into this today. There's three people undefeated. One of them, am I saying who?
Oh, of course.
One of them is Barry.
Lizardmen again, because they're a drug. And then Paul with high elves.
Paul Godbold, the man who would be king.
He will be king, probably.
And Nav. So, you heard that right, not the goat.
Nav with orcs and goblins.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about the goal later on the way home.
Yeah.
Because he went out swinging.
Barry broke him.
He was already half broken.
In every way that you can be broken.
Although for my what's the word? For my
defence?
No, the reward for me breaking Janus.
Yeah, put him for the Spanish announce table.
That is to get to probably be the number one seed, I guess, now, and having to play Paul in the fucking worst scenario. This is the scenario that almost made me take
high. I've rolled it up. It's taken hold. It's not mean engagement. Mean engagement is the fourth round.
So we're not playing the fucking random deployment.
Ah,
thank the fucking lord for that.
That is totally.
Fucking lord, because the worst case scenario is my stuff gets scattered.
Yeah, the four wins.
The command is fogged.
Yeah, you've lucked out there. Totally.
I have lucked out. Because Paul told me it was the fucking random deployment. I am fucked.
It was 50-50. Dice roll made it. Taken hold.
That's the objectives.
Four objectives.
Yeah, we can deal with those a bit better.
Yeah. That's much more suitable to you.
Because he's also got like a massive leadership package.
It's not going to be easy.
He's got two wizards, a hero and a dragon, and a general. That's 500 and something points.
It's not going to be easy.
And I've got like three little fucking skin crows.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my leadership package. And they were all going to get split up. Yeah. It's like, oh, fuck no. And that means I can't deploy my skinks together.
Yeah.
Because
they might be somewhere on their
own.
Oh my god, my skinks are by themselves.
Yeah, that's four break. So that was a wreck. Because that was one of the scenarios that almost made me play high elves, because they really have it.
But that's the point of That's what's cool, isn't it? So, like, because we are playing scenarios, you were like, but it's lucky, you're not, you're going to play the same scenario twice, you might, and the order of what the scenario is.
So imagine if Paul, and there's a fair chance he's going to beat me, because he's a good high-up player, and he's playing...
High-ups are legit.
So, and then he plays Nav in the final with the fucking random deployment. Oh my god, that game can go quick. Because the orcs can't do fuck all.
I mean...
And the fucking elves are all over
all over them.
Picking off bits there and everywhere.
Just gonna ride these down. And like,
Silver Helms are just fucking annihilating brigade after brigade. Yeah, it's like, oh man,
I'll put these eagles in the rear.
Fuck. That's why I can't play orcs. This kind of scenario is just fucking awful. What do you do? Where do you?
It's hard.
Oh no, all my ball boys are a million miles away. They're never going to get in the game.
Yeah.
I can't order the fucking things.
Yeah, it's hard. Not saying it's easy. Not saying it's easy.
This game is probably the roughest of the scenarios. Like, in the game can be just, like, mentally one-sided. Or it can... I've seen them grind out, actually. I've seen them go to clock, bizarrely.
Yeah, it can happen. It depends. If you manage to stabilise your, like, line...
Your battle line,
or,
somehow.
Or if you get lucky and you just... end up with your army all
over
the
place. Oh,
that
was that shit!
That was Jadon.
Oh, fuck's sake!
Jadon.
So, I can't remember who he was playing.
Phil.
And he was playing, he's a dwarf, wasn't
he? Yeah.
And he rolled every fucking thing in one fucking square and castled up.
Yeah.
Like, you jammy.
Better to be lucky than good.
And Phil was scattered to the four winds.
Four winds, came in piecemeal, got blown away.
Literally every fucking unit in one square.
Yeah. It's like, you can't write it.
On a hill, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice wall.
We'll stay here. Right, just blast these guys. Yeah. Blast
them
these guys.
Oh, now then.
Anyway, don't need to worry about Jadon. He's not going to win this year.
Yeah, he's not going to win.
That's his first loss in about fucking a million years, it seems.
I mean, like, we would talk about the games, but the scenario played well for you.
Very well.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it came down to a single dice roll. I mean,
you're going to have to elaborate.
Yeah, but
we're about to park up.
Oh, so. Yeah, I'll tell you, it came down to a single dice roll. Like
early on. Well, I mean, like.
No, it did. 2d6 needing 9. That was it. That was the game.
But you'll have to give a lot all the context.
But that was the game. Came down to that. Turn 2.
You have to give it all the context.
Anyway. We'll talk about our games later. And we're here, so. I get to play Paul in, and this is fucking cumulative scoring, is it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, it's going to get fucking beefy quick.
Yeah, you better get to those objectives.
Because although he's got the command, which he does, I've got more troops and my troops are better.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So my cavalry better than his cavalry.
Yeah, your infantry's much better than his.
My infantry's much better than his infantry, so. If he has to charge me and I'm defended, or I get to charge him, like 5 dice against 3 dice, is like, that's a big fucking wave advantage.
Swing to you.
So we will see. If he gets the flanks, though, with his better leadership, the gods will decide.
But just remember, with this one, remember that it's 2 points for breaking. You are going for those objectives. Like, you don't... It might be better... Like, if you have a choice of attacking some units or just running onto that objective, you should run onto the objective.
Yeah, this is one of those wonky ones where you actually, when you're ahead on objectives, you want to lose. You want to get broken.
But you want to keep holding them and thus win that way. But it's like...
No, but you can break and loot and win.
I'm saying if there's an option, like, I could attack somebody in the flank or go and stand on that undefended objective that's been overlooked by upon my opponent, you should go stand on the objective. That's worth more.
We'll see you after the event.
Yeah. I was chatting with scenarios with the with some of the other guys, like, for good ideas, and I have actually come up with one I really like, actually. So one I might add to the Winter Roller pack. I really like that idea. And I was like, yes, that's simple enough.
I love it's called Winter Roller.
Of course,
and we play in summer.
Of course, it's called Winter Roller. Like, what was I going to call it? Barry Con.
No, I don't know what you could call it, like the standardized.
The standardized
scenario pack.
What?
SSP?
What?
So the crucial thing you need to know, listeners, is Paul was telling me last night how he's not precious over this tournament pack. when we say the tournament pack, the standardized tournament pack, we do mean Winter Roller.
SSP. The SSP. Oh, standardised tournament. It's STP, isn't it?
In 40K.
If you make it the standardised tournament document, it could be an STD.
Oh, that's the winner. Paul's STD.
We're playing STD.
STD 2019.
Yep.
He'll never give up. The ego's too strong in this one.
I've created this thing. It's gonna have my name. It's gonna have my name. I'm the man who would plant the flag at Antarctica and say this is all British.
Hey man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Good to jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
So we're back in the car. What time is it, Paulus?
Quarter to five.
It's hot and hairy in here. It's very hot today for some reason.
Yes, it is. Yeah, very nice.
Very nice. We got the air conditioning off, so we're sweating for the benefit of our listeners.
Yeah.
That's nice. I've still got Sherwin in the back.
Right.
Yep. Emperor Sherwin. Oh, he's not Emperor anymore, is he? He's Roscoe, isn't it? Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I've never even seen him at the club. Does he even fucking come?
Apparently so.
Apparently so. He just wanted one of the honour, and then I don't actually want to do anything. Just call me President Ross.
Yeah.
So what are we up to? We played a tournament.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
Except 12 players.
Yes.
Four rounds.
Yep.
Although the fourth round was a bit academic, but we'll talk about that a bit later.
Yeah, totally.
So we'll go through it in order. Round one was pitch battle.
Yep.
The old chestnut, death clocks. So for people that don't know what a death clock is, if you run out of clock, you lose. Mm-hmm. Even if you've destroyed 19 of the 20 break you need from your opponent, so your opponent has literally done nothing. Mm-hmm. If your clock runs out, you're 1 hour and 30, and they still have clock remaining, you lose.
Yep.
A bit harsh, isn't it?
It never happened.
Because you gave him an hour and a half.
Yeah, because I can extend the time because of the nature of the event, and it never happened.
So it wasn't a death clock.
Well,
it was a death clock until it became a death clock. Then you'd just extend it anyway.
So,
I love Paul's organisation.
No, I didn't, you're putting words on
it. That's what you said.
No, I extended the overall time.
Obviously,
it never mattered. But it would have stopped an endless game, because who needs that?
Yeah, nobody. 3 years in, the Brexit, we're still playing the same game. We are still playing the same game theory, isn't it? Because it's like the prisoner, the one where it's like you've got to pretend you're willing to walk away in order to try and get the best deal possible, when nobody in reality believes you're going to walk away.
Yes.
Because it's like cutting your own fucking head off to prove that you're willing to cut your head off. It's like, but mate, you've just cut your fucking head off. Well done you. So round one, fella, what happened? Pitch battle. I played against a list that going into it looked formidable.
Yeah, I think that was the most interesting list.
It was the most skewed list for fucking sure.
Definitely.
So it was Paul, and he had 29 skelly bobs, four archers, a couple of rock lobbers, a couple of units of bone throwers. Was that it?
There was no chariots.
There's no anything. That was all there was.
Yeah.
Oh, two birds.
Two carrion. Yeah.
So, and then he must have had more. Basically, his break was 20. Yeah. And he had just a full pack of characters, no dragons, no fucking nothing.
Yeah.
And just skelly bobs, millions of them.
Yeah.
Millions and fucking millions and millions of them. And the challenge with this game was because of the fact that it's on Death Clock.
Yeah.
And if I don't break him, I lose.
Yeah.
And I have to fight on my turn because his stuff generally doesn't charge and do fucking anything.
It's got no punch. I mean,
it's got no chariots. It's got no anything. Yeah, it's got no cap. It's got no reach.
The only punch it has is because he's not taking a dragon. Is it a terror causing thing? Is that he engages you and gets raised dead, or he uses artillery, or he uses the carrion, and he pushes things onto the carrier that float behind. But he can't do those tactics all the time. I think there's definitely legs in a list like that. It's like, right, okay, what can be done against it? You managed it, handled it, but it's, I mean, it'd be interesting in the hands of... it's something I'd like to see.
It was very awkward to get him deaded in the allotted time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because killing 20 things, 20 units in combat, plus raised deads and stuff, which are getting in the way, that takes a lot of rolling.
He got, what, 3 units of raised dead against you?
4.
Like, yeah, 4? Yes.
So 4 on the board at the end, I think.
But ultimately...
Because you can't even fight them, can you? Because they don't do anything.
No, yeah. But ultimately, skeletons are 30 points, they're 2 attacks each. You know, there'll be some situations where you've churned through some units and they've not achieved anything because their combat output is so low. I think that with a better list of that would be to find the points to have a terror causing character, so you can at least do some. You need some punch. You can't just chaff forever. Yeah, you know, like, because you won't kill anything.
There were a couple of occasions where he literally surrounded me, and that is very painful because you can't retreat anywhere because there's stuff in every orifice.
Yeah.
Every orifice is stuffed full of bones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we got there in the end, so happy days. Well, who did you play Sherwin for round one?
I played Stuart. He had a high elf army. My first high elf army of the event. I only played 2 armies this event. That was kind of interesting. I went first and managed to jam him in his deployment fairly effectively.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
I stand corrected. I did go forward. I bunched my... I managed to jam into his deployment fairly quickly by chucking my druids down the field, putting out minus command bubbles. Mm-hmm. And then subsequently just kind of let him sort of, you know, not be able to effectively move his troops around while my guys obviously run down the field, take the middle off the game board, as it were. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting, I learned something in this, in the sense that I kind of put my wizards fairly far forward so they could affect the most units possible. He moved a unit of cavalry into a unit of chariots forward, clipped the druid, who drops back immediately and flies back into the closest unit, which I'd booked in 30. But then, because they're chariots, he could then follow up and charge them, which are wolfhounds. They're not super strong.
Yeah.
Could charge into them and subsequently kill my ring of magic wizard if I'm not too careful.
Wow.
Which fortuitously failed his roll.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I then immediately did exactly that thing.
Just that type of
in his subsequent turn.
Assimilated.
So that was cool. But yeah, basically the story of that one was he had a couple of unfortunate command rolls, not crazy unlucky, but probably the key ones I think he needed to mobilise his army around. Uh-huh. And I was just able to pounce on him and kind of put him on the back foot for pretty much the entire game, really.
Yeah.
It was fun, it was a good game.
So you broke him, obviously, because it was pitch battle and that's the way it ends.
Yeah, I broke him. I can't remember what it was. It felt a fraction one-sided, but the numbers were about right. I think I did about... I've got them somewhere.
Fell beasts.
2 in this one.
2 again, fuck's sake!
One ring of magic, 1-6.
Oh man, that's fucking bad news bears, isn't it?
It's worth noting that the second fen beast turned up literally to kill a unit of archers that were already going to die from being charged by a whole bunch of chariots. And,
I mean, that is a lot of free pointage coming in.
Yeah.
Got 0 points, Barry.
You know what I mean? I mean, raised dead are just fucking skeletons, aren't they?
At
the end of the day. But 2 fen beasts running around smashing stuff up.
Yeah.
That's some serious punch.
Yeah.
Oh, happy days. Mm-hmm. So we went into round one both 1-0. Mm-hmm. Round 2, that was the Tower of Power.
Tower of Power.
With new improved scoring.
Yeah.
Which meant that you could win the game by the end of turn 3.
Theoretically.
Because you score at the end of the second player's second turn, you score only in your turn, and if you've got the tower, you can get 4 points. There's also a bonus point if you've got a clearance of 5 centimetres around 10. 10. And another bonus if you've got a further clearance of 10.
20, yeah.
Okay, so you can score a maximum of 6 points. And then once you get to 10, you win.
Yeah.
Break doesn't matter in this one. I think the break gave ticket 2. Fucking hell, it's generous, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So... You see, if you had the tower for 1 turn and then got broken, you win 4-2.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So, I went first against Janna's. I had to play Janna's Wood Elves in this one, with the woods that were moving towards the tower, creeping closer, turn by turn. I even used a fucking dispel scroll to stop him moving the wood.
Yep.
Very and then he rolled another fucking 4. It's a 4 up.
Yeah.
What a fucking bastard spell that is. Anyway, so the whole game came down to me being able to roll a 9. with Divine Guidance. That was it. So I had my cold ones in the middle. He had all his what are they? Spirit kin, fucking ogres.
Yeah, dryads. Yeah.
So he's got his like ogres and his and orcs. His orcs, but they're both they can't be terrified. So yeah, they're pretty tasty. And he had four units of each, right down the middle. And then he's got relatively soft stuff around that. He's got no cavalry. He's got four of the bowmen, which at the end of the day, it's 300 points on stuff that doesn't do a lot.
Well, he has to take it.
He had four units of spearmen and then a character pack and two birds.
Yeah.
So
no cavalry.
No cavalry at all. So I knew if I could blunt his ogres, then he had no punch left. And I got all I have is punch. All my stuff is just...
Yeah, yeah.
So I put everything in front of the tower. And then I needed to roll a 9 to get my cavalry in. I rolled the 9, and then I engaged all the stuff, and then pushed it back. And then even the next turn, when he started pushing me forward, he couldn't get to the tower because there's too much stuff in the way.
Yeah.
And then my next turn, I took out the rest of his ogres, and then my entire army's clumped around the fucking tower.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got nothing left to fight with.
Right.
I was as good as what elves are, you know, like being able to move with leadership 10 and stuff. When you're putting in high elf spearmen against sauruses in column, it's not going to work.
Generally,
so it didn't work. Even when he was winning, he wasn't pushing me back, and I was letting stuff die. I was making stuff confused, because what I wasn't allowing him to do was get to the tower.
Yeah.
That's all that mattered.
Yeah.
And the game was really weird that it kind of, it just, once he couldn't get to the tower, he had to back off. Like, so he'd fight combats, and then he'd try to preserve his break by like falling back to the wood, but that was kind of giving me the tower for my turn. So then I didn't even bother doing that. I just said, well, I just win this turn because I don't even need to move.
Yeah.
So it felt a bit like if you could get past the tower and hold the tower for two turns, you were probably going to win no matter what the opponent did.
Yeah.
As long as you refuse to give ground, you're in front of the tower, you just fall into the tower, you will not give this tower up. You will not let him touch the fucking tower. How did you go, Sherwin? When I saw you early on, you looked like you had this bang to rights.
Yeah, I lost this one. The problem I had was there was kind of this false... the game looked quite... It looked very advantageous for me, but it was actually a false kind of perception that you could have had looking at that. Purely because... Because
you were past the tower, weren't you?
Yeah, I was very, very, very early on. I was able to move some chariots and some wolfhounds onto the tower to hold it, which was initially very, very strong. The problem I had is I'd failed command on my infantry moving up to support me. So subsequently, I found myself holding the tower with chariots, which is not really what they want to be doing. They want to be charging off. And, I mean, ideally, what I wanted was my infantry to fall up, hold the tower with maybe some wolfhounds just sitting there at the back, you know, relatively uninvolved, and then use the chariots just to basically charge into Nav's deployment and subsequently, you know, sort of hold him in place, cause him enough bother he can't advance on the tower. What actually happened as a result instead was that I kind of got the tower initially, scored a whole bunch of points, but then eventually the orc grinder just managed to catch up with them.
You scored than my six, didn't you?
They managed to get there faster than my infantry could.
Did his giants do well? Because I played him later on and his giants were just fucking amazing.
I killed one immediately, straight away.
Oh, because you've got two giants too?
Yeah, so we had a giant off and my one won. And then afterwards, my other giant, unfortunately, just boneheaded for the entire time, just didn't achieve anything. Sorry, don't mind me, I'm just driving past my stupid expensive car. I managed to... One of my giants boneheaded and lived at the back for good times, apparently, and the other one managed to get himself killed by a bunch of orcs after killing one of Nav's giants. But truthfully, the grinder arrived at the tower, I was trying to hold it with cavalry, chariots, which wasn't ideal, and I made a whole bunch of dubious dice rolls around it. I'm not going to blame it on poor dice, but it wasn't average dice, it was a little bit below the curve, which was unfortunate, which just meant a disadvantageous situation became worse, effectively. It was fun. It was an entertaining game. It's just, I think the scenario could use a touch polish, not in the sense of that's any reason why anybody lost. I think it needs a bit of standardisation to make it a little bit more interactive for people. But it was fun. It was certainly unique, which was good.
Round three. So going into round three, there were three players unbeaten. There was Nav playing Orcs and Goblins.
Yep.
And playing them well.
Yep.
Rocking up. There was Paul playing High Elves, and there was me with Lizards.
Yep.
And I was playing Paul, and Nav played Guy, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
And the scenario was a new one. It's a revision of an old one, but it plays completely differently now.
Yeah, yeah. Taken hold.
Paul admitted that he'd woken up in the middle of the night with a eureka moment, thinking how he could... Because he knew he was playing me, and he knew this was the scenario.
Yeah.
And he realised how to expose the weakness of the Lisbon army, which is very... has to play kind of narrow, and it has limits on its movement, while obviously using the High Elf's massive leadership buff.
Yeah.
Like, the leadership advantage of a leadership 10 general compared to these fucking fellas that potentially, if they're not within 20 of the general, can only move 20.
Yeah, yeah.
And only on an 8. It's just fucking nuts. So it's his third order potentially is on the same as my first order. He'd exploited a weakness in the scenario. I mean, that's what it is that you can... He could put his objectives wherever he wanted.
Yeah.
Like, there was no restriction. No, he could even put them next to each other.
Not within 20 of each other.
Okay, but, yeah. Like, within... They had to be within different zones, but they could be, like... So they could be within 20 of each other, but they could be on the very edge of the board. Yes. Like, literally the edge of the board.
He's using the whole table.
So he put one on the left-hand side of the board on the very edge, and he put one on the right-hand side of the board on the very edge.
Yeah.
I obviously put mine in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, like...
Where you would.
That's sensible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like using your strength.
I've done that similar kind of tactic in War Machine a lot of times, where, like, the opponent's using a brick list, and you split your army up, and so they can't engage both sides.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to ignore one flank. I ignored the flank that he scored a point to turn for, because I can't compete in the middle and on both flanks. That's impossible. Right?
If he's only earning that, he's going to take 10 turns to win the game.
Yeah, so I let that one go. We'll forget about that one.
Yeah.
And then I tried to contest the middle, which I held for most of the game.
Yeah.
Not that it was a particularly long game, with my two blocks of Saurus and my Skinks. Skinks in a wood holding my nearest objective, and then the Saurus in the middle, holding one objective, with Saurus off on the left, like threatening a flank if anything came into the Saurus in the middle. And then on the right hand side, he had his cavalry, I had my cavalry, he had his reavers, and my plan was to push on the right hand side and catch his cavalry and reavers.
Yeah.
I don't know how I was going to control that objective, because it's not that the flyers can't do it, they can contest, but can't control it, because I don't really want to have to leave a unit here, but I might be able to leave an odd stand here. But where the game went wrong was, and where he played it right, was he waited for me to stretch, and then he used his superior command to kind of hit me in a flank.
Yeah.
Because I've got to expose flanks somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's impossible to have brigades that...
You can't be clumped together, mutually supporting, and...
trying to be in three places.
Three places at once, yeah.
Because I've got three objectives that I'm trying to compete for.
Yeah.
So then what happened is, High Elves, you roll a 10. I even took two of them out with the spell, Doom and Despair thing, or whatever. He rolled a 10, he rolled a 9, he rolled a 7, and hit me in the flank.
Yeah.
And as soon as you got, like, units of Silver Hounds with dragons in your flank, there ain't nothing left. So what am I hitting back with?
I think with you looking at that situation, once you've like set up, it's like, is it okay? So if I don't, he's stretching, going to stretch me out in a way I can't play. You should have right. Where am I going to break? Where am I going to catch like his break? And go
yeah,
for
yeah. So
that.
This was it. This is it. Right. So my plan was to kind of threaten the right hand side while winning the middle.
Yeah.
I had to win the middle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had two blocks of Saurus in column.
Yeah.
And these blocks of Saurus had to kill his spearmen.
Yeah.
Had to.
Yeah.
Because using my Carnosaur. Yeah. Because if I didn't win that, I can't win on the flanks.
Yeah.
I can't. Because he's got Reavers and stuff. They move a fucking million miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, he also, when he hit me in the flank with the Silver Helms, he also managed to hit me in the front with a brigade of four spearmen.
Yep.
And he put the eagles behind, so I've got no room to move back. And then he put the dragon in.
Yep.
So now he's taken away my attacks. He's added to his attacks. And I've got nowhere to go backwards because he's got the eagles behind me. He's potentially sacrificed the eagles. But, of course, as soon as he starts pushing me back, stuff's evaporating. Even if I don't lose them to casualties, and by the end of the two rounds of combat, they were all one stand unit.
Yep.
And the other brigade of Saurus that got hit in the flank lost two full units.
Yep.
And it's like, now I've lost six of my eight units of Saurus.
Yeah.
And my cavalry, which I'd sent out right, because of the positioning of the Skink Hero, couldn't even get back to the centre. And it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck, this game's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone into turn three because I can't.
Because he's
contest.
But he's chosen where to fight.
Yeah, and he's won that fight, and I hadn't taken a stand off him.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, he's done well.
He did really well. So that was it. Shook his hand, move on, Paul, get on. And then that turned out he'd won it on that.
Yeah.
Because the guy beat Nav, and that was the end of the tournament, effectively. And then we played a fourth round of funsies.
So just to understand, listeners, is that so there was 12 players in Swiss. You know, there's about a 50% chance that you don't need the fourth round because only by the end of the third round, only one player is left with three wins.
Okay. I think we won a hell of a lot. So how did your game three go, Shervinator?
I won game three. I played against Jim with an awfully Arabic-looking orc.
Yeah, yeah.
King of the proxy.
King of the proxy. I mean, the flying carpets look good.
They were wolf riders, weren't they?
It was a lovely looking army. It took a few questions as we were going as to what it was, That's fine. Jim is a nice guy to play. I've played him before, and he's very understanding. He's very fun. He's very fun. He's very knowledgeable of the rules, which is good. I basically managed to pull off much the same as before. It's a similar sort of thing to what I've done with previous adventures with the Albion, which is kind of just force down towards his deployment if I can go first or if I can get an advantage there, and then basically just pressure him. I managed to take and hold my two objectives literally on my second turn. I went first.
Right.
Jim won the roll and chose for me to go first. He'd rather take second turn so he could start scoring earlier.
So I moved forward.
I held my two positions, and then managed to pretty much get myself to a stage where I could happily jump onto his first objective in my third turn. Unfortunately, Jim was struggling with the fact that he was, again, failing command because of the bad spells that are there. Plus
that's miserable. But you've got a spell that gives a minus to command, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking grim.
It's part of how the army works.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Against high elves, I think that's cool. Yeah, like, fuck them. Yeah, right. But against orcs,
it's
kicking
you while you're down, isn't it?
He almost managed to do a very impressive flanking maneuver with his wolf riders, which could have been magic carpets.
Why go in the front for one move when you can flank for two?
He very much almost did that and stole my very deep, the deep objective in my deployment or just outside of my deployment. It was very impressive. I had to send a horde of chariots to kill them. I just had to. That's fine. They got killed by chariots and wolves. So, that was quite interesting. It took sort of a big chunk of my army out to protect that flank. But, again, we got to a stage where I think it would have been my third turn I scored 5 points. And at the start of my fourth turn, I had another 5 points on the table. So I just...
Some of the games did tend to go really quickly. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
I think in the case of that one, it needs to just... Inherently, the point of scenarios is that you want to basically encourage people to come forward and play the game and interact with each other rather than camping at the back and just castling up. Stereotypical dwarf way. Unfortunately, that particular scenario in its current incarnation, and that obviously can change and Paul will change it, is that it kind of encourages you to just sit at the back.
I have already changed that. I adjusted the scoring of that scenario.
Right.
As in, so the two central ones only score 1 point each.
And the back one scores nothing.
And it's got back.
Your
one scores one. So there's three of them scoring one, and then just the far one scoring three. But I couldn't. I didn't want to, because some people had turned up and actually had read the tournament pack.
Who? Yeah, heresy.
Yeah, like, and I didn't want to do that change because I'd already. It's like I'd already. This was I published the tournament pack out, and people had bought tickets for that. So.
I'd probably be more inclined, to be truthful, to put all of those objectives within a certain radius of the centre line of the table.
Okay. Yeah.
Purely because having any objectives in your own half, deep in your own half, just feels a little bit like you could just camp there.
So what about if you put objectives on the actual board edge, and then you've got to be on the objective to claim it, and then if you get hit by anything, you're forced off the board and then you die.
I mean, that's quite a negative
I think Nav said that 20 centimetres away from board edges, that's kind of standard to stop shenanigans.
And would you say that you So would you have the objective scoring like, so the one that's closest to you scores you nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, okay, so 0-1-1-3.
0-1-1-2 maybe. I don't know. It depends how quick you want it to be.
Okay.
Oh, certainly the one you're sat on your with in a wood near you.
Okay.
Like coming to a wood near you, I'm going to sit here in this wood.
I think the furthest one has to be really worth the venture.
Three then, give it three. But I think your one maybe should score you nothing. The very nearest one.
And would you say, so both with the tower and the objectives one, would you even have breaking in the game?
Like, yes, absolutely.
As a way to finish?
I would probably. I think this kind of gives you an interesting opportunity. So you've got two ways of doing it. Breaking is the way you can look at it and say, well, that's your checkmate. That's just how you win the game regardless.
Yeah, lots of people thought that you won.
So it gives you that kind of always a puncher's chance. Like,
yeah.
You've got scenario points, but yeah, if I could break you, then I can win.
Yeah.
The other option you've got is it doesn't cause a game over state, but it does give your opponent, if they break you, like a significant jump in scenario points.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another way to do it if they are running out of objectives.
Okay.
It creates an interesting alternate sort of way to play the game.
Yeah.
And that one I'd probably play test and see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as I say, like, they all need more play.
Okay, right, so round four, which kind of was just the fight for the minor placings.
Well, it was fight for second and third.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that, randomly, this affected the rankings. I would have thought you would have stopped at the third one because then you've done all the rankings and just end there. Because effectively the tournament's ended there and the last one's a casual game.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, like, I wanted there to be four rounds that mattered, so that meant something. Yeah, it's a way I could have done it, sure, and you're right. But it's okay.
So normally we would have played another game anyway. It's the important thing. We're there to play games, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm not sure everybody would have stayed if you made it a casual game, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think going forward, potentially Swiss isn't the best way of doing an event that has this one you've got, you only needed three rounds to make the event work.
But it could have been four.
But potentially we had the time for as many as six.
But
five comfortably.
Yeah, so
maybe we find a way to do five rounds and then just tally it up at the end of the five, rather than being Swiss.
So
we have five meaningful games.
Five meaningful games, then are you an acuity scoring?
Yeah, over the five games.
That's your...
So there may well be multiple people with four wins, but then you'll break it on...
So it doesn't matter, you can win the event and have lost the game.
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe that's the future.
Okay.
That's what they did in the 40K, where they had potentially seven winners.
Yeah, exactly.
Seven winners on 5-0 or whatever the number was.
Yeah. All right, okay, well, that's another way to play.
Yeah.
So tell me about your last game.
I was playing Nav. Nav the fucking madman.
Yep.
He's changed me. He's changed me, sir. I'm not sure I'll play Orcs and Goblins, because I still...
Not changed me that much.
I still worry about them.
Yeah.
Although he plays them as well as anybody.
Giants work.
Giants do work.
Yeah.
I think I might try two Giants with my Ogre list.
My God, that's different for you. Yeah, right, okay.
Because they provide you, like, it's the amount of punch on the small base that does it.
Yeah. Because you used to believe that Giants were terrible.
They are. I went for him on a couple of occasions, and I thought I should win this. I put a unit of cold.
This
one,
is meaty engagement.
Yeah, cold one. Oh, this was the fucking random deployment madness. So anyway, he deployed individually, stand by stand.
Stand by stand, right?
Because there was no obligation to do brigades, so did it stand by stand.
Yeah.
And he was building his army stand by stand, depending on where it went. You're kind of smoothing out the variation, aren't you, doing it that way?
So I put
a unit of cold ones into the flank of a giant with pterodons behind it, so there's no room to flip, to go back. So I'm not necessarily going to do the eight wounds or whatever I need, but I'm going to win my ass sent to me and it's going to die.
Yeah.
I lost. Because giants... Yeah, I'm only doing nine attacks against the giant in the flank. The giant's got eight attacks back.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big a spike, one by one.
Yeah.
And then he pushed by and then he ate my pterodons. Why would he go and fight cold ones? He's stuck a stand up the cold ones, turn around, and initiative charge the pterodons.
Them
instead.
Yeah.
He fucking did some work with you. He hit a brigade of Saurus with two giants, one doing the super giant run. 30 attacks with terror.
Yeah.
30! There was one guy hitting the flank, fighting back with two attacks. It's 30 fucking attacks. What kind of, who can fight this kind of madness?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a fantastic player. I managed to beat him in a real blood fest because he offered up his orcs against my Saurus, and Saurus is better than orcs. That is the truth of the matter.
That is the truth.
If you apply a Carnosaur into that equation, it gets even more outrageous. So I had two units of Saurus. Two units of Saurus at the front, supported by two units of Skinks. So this is like a brigade I don't normally run.
Yeah.
So in line, and they went into a brigade of orcs, took the whole brigade.
Yeah. Right. Sharon, how'd your game go?
That was a real slugfest. I was against Paul.
The champion.
He's won. Yeah.
Congratulations, Paul, by the way, sir.
Yeah, he did.
He did it superbly well. Yeah, well played, sir.
Real grind.
Yeah.
It was fairly brutal. In his deployment, he actually managed to roll, so he in the quadrants that you have to deploy, sextants, I guess they are.
Good word.
He actually didn't have to deploy one of his. He rolled everything in two. And it just so happened to pretty much be that all of his cavalry, for the most part, other than one unit of spearmen, were in one, and all of his infantry were in the other.
Yeah.
And I had generally a bit more of a mix. He went first. It was very much who goes first is probably going to dominate this one. He went first and annihilated a giant with his cavalry charge initially, and a unit of a couple of units of wolves, like a fairly brutal turn, which just reeled from. Mm-hmm. And then I wiped out six of his breakpoint.
Six.
I slammed into his army heavily.
Yeah. He took out six breaks.
Because there was a brigade of spearmen, I saw this, who went blundered, were forced to try and engage, broke up their formation.
And then you got charity.
Fenbeast. Yeah.
How many Fenbeasts in this one? Two again.
Two.
Seems to stand. Two Fenbeasts, two giants. Yeah. And fucking horrible, sir.
Well, you'd enjoy it. It's also listeners. Barry ducked me on the first day.
Did you grudge me?
No, you just choose to duck me. I tried to get you for a casual game.
Oh, see at the end.
And then we thought I was going to be playing you in
today.
Today you ducked me again. That was a lot of fun. Basically, I got him down to one break, and then spent three turns looking for that break and not being able to make it, and then just failing command to try and pursue it, basically, and then just died.
So really, I mean, you almost beat the guy who won.
Almost.
To be honest, you're the closest of anybody.
Closer to me.
Yeah. Albion are an army which is very much, you know, you're very much an alpha strike army.
Yeah.
You're charging in there.
There's no point in hammering
in them into them, and you're going to do a lot of damage, and you've got to win it on those turns. And I managed to push him right to the edge, and then couldn't quite find the rest. But what you don't really do very well with Albion is suffer attrition.
Yeah.
And basically, I was just forced to. If you can imagine that the game descended into any infantry had hiding in the woods, a chariot circle around them, like.
Come out.
At that point, I'd killed both his eagles at that point, and I'd run out of other stuff to kill. So at that point, it was like, and now I need to try and take on the knights, which are the solid core.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I just bounced. I managed to get a flank charge against them at one point and bounced. I managed to get a couple of different charges into them and couldn't quite do it. The real strength he had was being able to chuck the dragon around to kind of really
get a combat force.
I think I saw there was a point right at the end where you charged into a wood and he was only one stand wide.
Yeah.
So he's got one stand with one support and you had three stands. And if you'd have won that combat, you'd have won the game.
And if you had won the game, you'd have been second chosen.
Well, it's what it is.
Yeah.
Right? It's ultimately, leading into that, I'd had, I think, three turns of kind of, okay, so I need to make an 8 on this Fen Beast and then it can charge into and kill some archers. I need to make an 8 on this Fen Beast so it can charge in and kill some spearmen. Okay, I need an 8 on this Fen Beast to do whatever. Lots of stuff like that in my turns.
So just because people probably haven't experienced Fen Beast that often, because A, they're only in one list.
Six attacks, terrors.
And B, you've got to roll a 6 up to get them on. What exactly do they do, Sherwin?
Well, it's a bit like a raised dead. So your druid, it's a spell you can only cast a 6 unless you've got a magic ring, which you should always take.
It's worth having.
It turns up and you can drop it into combat if someone's already in combat.
Nice.
It's obviously always fun to drop it in a flank or a rear.
Nice.
It causes terror, it's got 6 attacks, 4 wounds, 5 plus save.
Yeah.
And, it does 8 attacks on the charge then, being a monster.
Although you never charge with it really, for the most part. It's a monster.
Yeah.
So it can go where monsters can go.
Yeah. Which isn't woods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like
Like, I don't know why. I mean, I'll have to admit, like...
But that is weird, because I'm sure units of monsters can calm down. Units of fucking... Gorgeous or stuff.
This is a conversation...
Yeah, exactly.
This is a conversation
for another time.
Another time.
You have, at the moment, Treeman, who live in the woods, can't go in the woods.
Yeah, exactly.
A fembeast which comes from a bog, can't go in a bog.
Maybe he's too big for the wood. Yeah. He just sticks out of the wood a lot.
So meanwhile, anyway, so the fembeast is pretty cool. It's not undead, but you can't. It doesn't do anything on initiative.
Yeah. So, oh, is that really? It doesn't have initiative.
Which is kind of an issue that I had in the last game. Okay.
Because I saw opportunities for him to get stuck in, and he didn't. But that's the reason. Yeah.
So you can only order it with a druid.
Yeah.
So he's got a 7.
You get plus 1 if your druid does go to order.
8, always going to be down to 7 because there's only going to be near. Yep.
So basically, you've.
Well, that's harsh, isn't it? Always on a 7. So that's harder than raised it. Yeah. I mean, for moving this stuff around.
Once you actually got it, but
because there's no initiative.
Yeah.
No initiative. But what it normally does, to be truthful, is you drop your fembeast into combat that's already happening, and for the most part, that kind of changes the combat, and it'll pursue people around or whatever else, and then generally makes a nuisance of itself. But
people don't want to charge it because it's worth nothing.
It's not worth anything, and it could probably hurt you back.
And you can only have as many of them as you have druids.
So one of your druids gets killed.
You can cast another spell with that druid, can you? You just can't summon multiple. You can have up to 2 fembeasts on the table. If you have 2 druids.
Yeah.
But if a druid dies, then you have to discard one of your
fembeasts. Oh, wow, okay. Oh, that's funky. Yeah.
Right. Fair enough.
It's quite entertaining. I sat down and I think. Nav went, okay, so it's like Valkyries. I'm like, no, it's definitely not Valkyries. That's like a much more fragrant thing than a fembeast. This thing smells of turd. It's not good. It's from the bog of eternal stench.
Fantastic. Okay, cool. So just quickly because we're wrapping it all up before we have to park up and finish, is that I think the event as the organiser, as a TO, went pretty well. The event...
I think I'm great.
No,
it went well, sir.
I think it went well.
Credit to Paul Wereshchew. He ran a good event.
Yeah. Credit to Wereshchew. Paul gave the winner Paul, a fucking outrageous amount of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like a trophy, a fucking sword, a bag, a couple of fucking billion armies.
Not that it made too much difference, but I did enjoy that in the run-up you were saying very much, yeah, I've got so much prize support, everyone pretty much can have something walking away from this.
Everyone whose name is Paul.
Everything to the people who came in the top 3.
It was quite... Yeah, you're right.
It's not a criticism, it's just an amusing Paulism.
Paulism, that's it. Don't quote me my words.
Yeah.
That was yesterday's Paul. So Wooden Spoon was
a guy called Andrew,
playing High Elves.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, very nice guy.
Third place was Jan O'A playing Wood Elves. Second place, some scumbag playing Lizardmen. First place, Paul playing High Elves. So we had two Elves and a Lizardmen, all tier 1. Fucking Skaven, no Orcsies here, fellas.
It could have been Orcsies. Yeah, it could have been Albion.
Could have been.
Yeah. Looking around, dramatically different from last year, better in every way, the venue and the whole event. And I was saying to Zach, the guy who runs the thing, and I was just like, right, where do you go from here and stuff? And he's like, yeah, it's like
home, yeah, knackered.
But how do you make it bigger and better? And he's like, he's got his plans, and it'll be there next year. So that's awesome.
No, could be back this year.
No, it wasn't. I was walking around in between rounds and going to the bar or something like that. I always like these things. I look around and I was like, is there something playing and stuff? There's some games, obviously, I'm quite enjoying Rings at the moment, and there was a bit of a small Rings event going on. I did take a few photos of some TT Combat, make some beautiful scenery, and it's cheap. It's really cheap. It's laser cut MDF. And they had supplied everything, for the 40k. And they were massive onto a winner there, because each table
had a standard pack for them. It was £60. They were selling it, and that was a 40k totally. If you that's your game system, that is a viable table to play this game on. But looking at the portion of some of the 40k games in terms of what it actually is,
yeah, you don't want to play that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I'd rather play the old men games.
No, but what buggles me? It's like seeing these extremes. You've got the 400 people playing this 40k, which like. It's just a terrible game. Like you look at it, it's like visually that. Look at it. I mean, it's the scale of the models is ridiculous. I didn't take a picture of it, but it was a fucking shadow sword, a super heavy tank, balanced on a bit of scenery, and it was like on its side wheeling, and it's like it's a super heavy. It would be weighing like 1,000 tons or something. It's like what is this? And it's designed to like shoot titans down at the distance of 10 miles.
But you've got titans in the game now.
What is this?
It used to be stuff like Baneblades were off limits because they were Forge World. You need the permission to use them. Now they're fucking everywhere. Those Baneblades look small.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and then and you've got the vary from that to the four rows of 50 mil historical war gaming being played. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, this is, my God, there's loads of them. It must be it's a big event. It's like the second biggest in the room. And I talked to the guy who was like, I found out who was running it all. And I was like, no, that's four different game systems of 15 mil historical. And I was like, oh, it's four different game systems. And I was like, said to him,
using the same kind of miniatures.
I said, like, using the same scale and periods. And I was like, I said to him, well, why don't you get them all to play the same thing? And he's like, don't even try. they'll be dragons. You cannot persuade someone who plays DBM to play
Fields of Glory.
Yeah. And it's like, they might look the same, but they.
There were some people playing this French. The name was French. I'm not sure what the game was called. I don't speak French, but the name of the game was French. And it was like another version of Fields of Glory.
I just thought that was hilarious. Like the variation then.
I've seen people playing Saga. There was a Saga World Cup going on.
So I mean, what's encouraging is I didn't come across something I saw that I was like, oh yeah, like I'm still I'd rather be playing War Master, which is good. Excellent.
Successful. The Galactic Championship 2020.
Is it
post Brexit, obviously. So
Anything's possible.
Price falls halved.
It's still being
that's
shipped.
The thing now. You've got to fucking do all your begging again for a year. You just enjoy it, don't you?
But
do you know what? You know when we were talking about the estate hall, because we've got to get back to the estate hall earlier. Mm-hmm. Right, so we're talking about. Guess what Paul's comment was? Could you guess?
What?
You could always donate some as prize. It's like never miss a fucking chance.
No.
It's like, oh, you found some stuff cheap on eBay. I'll have them as price support if you don't want them.
Not always, totally.
You never have too much. Anyway, we're home now.
So we're
going to wrap it up.
We have to wrap it up.
So that was episode 120 something. I think it's probably 26.
Thank you for participating.
Sherwin,
as well,
it's very nice to speak to you, Sherwin. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
I mean, we don't often get the mix of royalty, but we did today, so thank you. Good night.
Okay.
Good night, Paris.
Would you like to know more?